Welcome to the Families at Grace podcast, where we seek to equip and encourage parents as they apply the gospel in their homes.
All right. Hello, everybody. I'm Josh Hussang. I'm the pastor of youth and families here at Grace.
And I'm Jason Miller, pastor for children and families at Grace.
And this is the brand new podcast, Families at Grace.
First one.
We've never done a podcast before.
You may be able to tell.
Yeah, so
in a few minutes.
Yeah, so bear with us right now because we're new at the. We're not pros like Justin and Scott.
Justin and Scott have been doing this for years.
Yeah, so they've got a lot ahead. So just bear with us. The reason that we decided to do this podcast was because we were getting a lot of feedback from parents, just about a lot of different issues, and so I took a poll at one point of my youth parents and things from technology to just kind of like parenting style to sexuality, how we talk about sexuality, schooling choices. I don't know what kinds of things
lots
you get
of
from
that's
your...
a big one. Yep.
Yeah.
How to start family devotions, how to do it, how do I talk about, you know, topics that you've mentioned, but just on a different scale, how do I teach my kids who God is?
And right.
Apply those things, help them apply those things to their lives when they're still very young.
Yeah. So, you know, being a parent is complicated, and becomes increasingly so.
That's right.
And we know that. And as the youth and children and the families pastors here, we want to be able to, like in the intro, it says that we want to encourage and equip you. And so we want to be a help. So we'll be talking about this. This podcast will largely be about tackling different issues. So after the first couple of episodes here, that's where we will go. We will talk about things like technology and sexuality and family devotions and all those kinds of things. But we thought first it would be better for us to start from the very beginning.
That's right.
That's right. And just like outside, you know, where they're pouring, they just finished pouring the foundation for the new chapel.
Lots of concrete.
That's right. There's a lot out there. We want to start, start with a solid foundation at the beginning, before we start getting into the detail and the issues. So Jason, tell them what we're going to be talking about today.
One of the foundational passages for parents, is Deuteronomy 6. And so you've probably read that or heard that talked about in the context of parenting. So we're going to look at that, specific passage and talk about what it means for us as parents. So Josh, you want to read that for us? Yep. From your handy-dandy big leather ESV Bible.
That's right. Oh my gosh, yes, it's so big. All right, this is chapter 6, verses 4 and on here. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
Awesome. So that passage that the Jews call the Shema, and that Jesus even quoted in the New Testament as the first and greatest commandment, really is about what does it mean to love God? What it mean to be related to God? Love Him with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, every part of your life. So the instruction there is to the Israelites, but then quickly he moves to parents and says, these are the things that you need to be teaching to your children. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why we look at it in this context of parents. It doesn't mean that no one can apply, that only parents can apply this to their lives. But
right.
The foundational principles here are about having our hearts as parents filled with love for God, and so right. that's really where we have to start off with. This is not just content that we are downloading to our children. It really is a heart of passionate love for God and that affects all of life. Mm. So it starts with us as parents, and so before we get into the, like you said, the topics and the details of parenting, we wanted to begin with our own hearts as parents. And we're speaking as fellow strugglers as parents, not as experts. So don't expect then a parenting expert podcast. That's not what this is. So that's where we have to start and look at our own relationship with God as individuals, as moms and dads, and say, where am I? And how can I be drawing closer to God in my daily life? And then we'll see that, how that affects us as parents.
Yeah, you know, when I talk to our volunteers about serving, the illustration that I use is, you know, like you're on the airline. And they always do the little show for you at the beginning where they're telling you to, you know, when if the oxygen level gets low, then the little mask is going to pop down. And they always say, put the mask on yourself before you put the mask on your child.
Yep.
And I think the principle is exactly the same, that you have to be, in our walk with the Lord, we have to be trying to walk strong. We have to try to be, living our faith in daily dependence on Jesus. I say walk strong. I mean, by walking strong, I mean living in dependence on Jesus. That's strong in the Christian sense. So we're not going to have it all together. I mean, gosh, I have four kids. You have five kids. You know, you feel run ragged all the time. But if we're walking daily in dependence on Jesus, then that is going to give us the strength that we need then to pass on to our own kids. And I also think, you know, in the teenage world, teenagers, and I think younger kids too, like, can sniff out insincerity.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, if we think we can just, you know, put on the mask, we might could put on the mask for our day-to-day life, right? Like, you go to work, you feel like everything's okay, but, you know, you go home and your kids see a side of you that nobody else does.
That's right.
And so if we're walking in daily dependence on Jesus, then that's going to be better. So it starts with us.
That's right.
Very good.
Yep. And then, as we keep looking further on in that passage, there is content. He says, "These words that I command you shall be on your heart." So we have to know God's word, and we have to be ready to share that. So we're called to teach it diligently to our children. Now, that doesn't mean you have to have a seminary degree to disciple your kids, but you just have to be walking, like you said, diligently with God and teaching our kids diligently. So being intentional about it. What are the things that we want them to learn, and who do we want them to be? Having a vision for what we want our children to grow up to be. You know, in children's ministry, I talk about that we want them to love God, love God's word, love God's people, love all people, and not love their life. And so those are the things, that's the vision that drives what we do. But you can also have that for your own children. Who do you want them to be as they grow up? What kind of person do you want them to be? So that comes from diligently teaching those things to them. It's not going to happen accidentally. It's not going to happen. Now, we do understand that and pray that God works in spite of us and beyond us and more than what we ask or think. But it doesn't happen by accident. The world and the culture will disciple them into a different kind of thinking apart from the word of God and apart from faithfulness to him. So we have to be the shelter for them and the voice that calls them back to God's word and living towards him with a heart of love for him. So we want to be diligent, not perfect, but faithful. And so I think that's important. And it's important to think about another passage that we often use here, Psalm 78, where we will not hide these things from our children, but we'll proclaim to them the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might so that they will set their hope in God and share that with the children yet unborn. And so as we're teaching our children, we're not just preparing them for their own future, but we're preparing them for the children that they may have, or the other children that they may teach in the future. You know, we're raising up missionaries to send them into the future, to people in places that we'll never see. And so people have done that for us. I know we can both point to people in our lives in churches that we were in the past, our parents, but also other folks who had impacts on us that are gone now, that that left that deposit of truth and influence on us that is helping us carry the word of God into the future, the gospel into the future for another generation. So that's part of what we're doing as parents too, is sending this message to our children and into the future.
Yeah, that's it. Sounds a lot like the master plan for evangelism, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where we're talking about outward, just like going and sharing the gospel with other people, but mm-hmm. or 2 Timothy 2:2, you know, what you have heard from me and trust to faithful men also who will then be able to share with others. We're just talking about doing that with our kids.
That's right.
Which is great. Now I will say, I wanted to ask you,
mm-hmm.
if you're a parent listening to this and you have maybe older kids, and they feel like they've been diligent,
mm-hmm.
But their kids haven't necessarily become missionaries. Mm-hmm. You know, what would you say to them right now?
I'd say be patient,
mm-hmm.
And give God time to work in their hearts. Especially, you know, the teenage years is a big time of figuring out who you are and mm-hmm. your identity, and so it's a time. Where they come to own their faith. And sometimes they have to struggle with that. Sometimes they have to go through seasons of doubt or even rebellion to come out on the other end with a solid, strong
yeah.
faith. I think as parents, when our kids are younger, we can believe that we have more control than we actually have.
Right.
There's an illusion because we can kind of control their setting and their atmosphere and their schedule that they're going to turn out all right no matter what. And when they get older, they start making their own choices and they have to learn from those choices. And so I would say, if you've been faithful, continue to pray and be faithful and trust God to work in your older children's heart as well and walk with them as they do it. Don't be afraid of those seasons that they struggle.
Yeah. It makes me think of when we've talked about like baptism and salvation in general,
mm-hmm.
with parents at like a discipleship gathering or something like that, where, you know, we as parents are charged in charge of the diligence, the walking with and the putting, you know, like it says on your doorpost and all those things, mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit's the one who's going to do that work.
Yep.
And so making sure that prayer's in there mm-hmm. as well. So let's say that like I am a parent of a young child. I have a 2-year-old,
yep.
As well as some older kids, but let's say I'm a brand new parent, got a baby or one on the way or 2 or 3-year-old. And I say, okay, well, I want to be diligent.
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like? What does it mean for me to be fulfilling my responsibilities here? How am I supposed to be a diligent parent?
Yeah. So looking at our Deuteronomy 6 passage, it talks about when you sit down, when you lie down, when you rise up,
mm-hmm.
when you walk by the way, when you sit down. So that's really just the normal schedule of life. How can you incorporate teaching diligently into the normal schedule of life? So, Is it morning time the best time for your family to gather and read scripture together and pray before you send your kids off to school?
Yeah.
Is it dinner time, whenever the only time you get everybody around the table? Maybe crazy, there may be all kinds of stuff going on, but you do still make a habit to open up God's word, read something, talk about it, discuss it as a family, pray for needs in your family, pray for missionaries around the world. There's all kinds of different ways you can do that, sing together. It doesn't have to be complicated. He's not saying, this is not saying read all of Leviticus. I can't even say it. At the dinner table. But
thank you.
As you go, as you're going, talk about what is it that God would help us to love God today.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there are lots of tools for that, lots of resources. We're kind of swimming in resources now for family discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
So pick something and use it. And don't be afraid to change something if it's not working for your family. So, there's easy catechism questions mm-hmm. that you can do. There are family devotionals that are written for these exact kind of things, or just read the Bible, you know, just say we're going to read a chapter a day and see what you can do with that.
Yeah. Okay. So it sounds like there's a structured thing maybe that in being mm-hmm. diligent, we're going to actually try to find a time, whether it's once a week or every day or however mm-hmm. it fits for us, where we're going to say we are going to read the Bible together or mm-hmm. we are going to spend some time praying together as a family. But then there's also, I think you said, the unstructured time, which is more of the walking by the way. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't get the part in the play.
Right.
How, you know, and then as a parent, instead of me just like patting him on the back and saying, it'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
I encourage them in that moment to trust the Lord and pray with them, and also encourage them and pat them on the back, but use that as a moment to direct us towards, direct their hearts towards God. Towards
yeah. And I would say too, that those structured times will inform our unstructured times. Mm-hmm. So I heard somebody talking about that recently, talking about memorizing scripture, and that they worked with their family to have a discipline of scripture memory. And their child had a piano recital, and they became very anxious about it, but they were able to point them back to a verse they had memorized in their structured time, to inform that unstructured time where she was able to quote that as she stepped up and was able to trust God in the midst of that and not just feel good about herself that she had practiced a lot. So
that's so good.
So those structured times will inform our unstructured times.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. 'Cause I think, you know, the big thing that I feel like it's talked about less in youth ministry now, but certainly for a long time when I started in youth ministry, was the whole like compartmentalization.
Sure.
Right. So I have kind of like my way of talking and behaving in one context, like church, and then another way or the other, but kind of doing both of these helps like connect the dots.
That's right.
Between just like your structured time as a family, maybe, or at church, and your real life.
Mm-hmm. And again, this is where what's on our hearts will affect what our teaching of our children. So they'll see how we respond to those informal times. They'll see how we respond when we lose the job,
yeah,
or when, you know, the boss is unkind to us, or those kinds of things, or somebody cuts us off in traffic. They'll see how we
really respond. See it
then, there'll be a teaching opportunity in those moments.
Might be an opportunity for them to teach us in those
I have frequently been corrected by my own children about my attitudes or things that I've said and had to respond, hopefully with repentance. So yes.
Yeah. And maybe that's another thing to throw in with all of this is, you know, like we said, earlier, we want to be authentic. We know that we're not perfect. Mm-hmm. The whole thing is bathed in grace, hopefully, and we're not trying to pretend to our kids that we're perfect or something. Mm-hmm. We're all trying to walk with the Lord humbly together.
Yep.
So when they say hypocrite, then you say, "You're right."
Yes, that's right.
I need Jesus too.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, good. Well, the other thing that we will talk about in the next episode is we've talked about how prayer in these kind of structured and unstructured times can help us as we are trying to be diligent to pass on God and faith in Christ to our children.
Mm-hmm.
How the church works in on that.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about this in the next episode, but a part of what it means to be diligent is to actively involve your family in community faith life, and how that works, and how we as the, you know, children and youth families team want to help reinforce the things that our families are doing at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one thing for your kids to hear you say the truth about God, but it's another thing for them to see someone that they look up to and admire at church or in another group to also reaffirm the same things that you were saying.
Yeah.
I can think of times when my children would come and tell me something that they heard from someone else. And I know that I've told them that very same thing.
Oh yeah.
But for whatever reason, it impacted them differently coming from their D group leader or their Sunday school teacher that it didn't, because I was their parent and I'm supposed to be the one saying those things to them. So the church is valuable and important. We don't want to negate what the church can do to assist and to partner with parents.
That's right. Well, thank you for joining us this week. And next time we will be back to talk about church, and take care. We'll see you later.
See you later.